Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by the Connected Women of Influence. I'm Eva Venari, founder of the Elevate Institute, your host for this segment of Owning Your Health, where we explore alternative ways to be more consciously aware of truly owning what it takes to care for your body at work from today's health thought leaders. And our topic today is love at work. This is one of my favorite topics, talk about how love affects the health. And our leading lady today, Cheryl Guidry, is a women's health expert and advocate with over 30 years of experience. Through working with hundreds of women over the years, she developed an understanding of the plight of women as it relates to their reproductive health as they re-enter new relationships or have a sense of despair as they've experienced health crisis because of leaping headfirst into a new relationship led by their heart. So good afternoon, Cheryl. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I love this topic, and we've met in person before, and we had some great conversations, and so I wanted to bring that conversation to our audience and really get into the great questions and topics that we had and shared together. So I know you have a radio show. Yeah. and we were talking about the radio show called The Dating Radio Show, and I want you to say a little bit more about that, what it's for, and introduce us to it.
So actually, I was on a dating radio show and interviewed regarding this particular topic of women over 50, because it's something that a lot of professional women especially are talking about, because we're so busy. We don't have time for a relationship. So it's a very engaging topic that, you know, we want to know how can we find that best love. And so we're just getting the message out. And I've been on probably 3 radio shows within the last few weeks talking about this topic.
That topic. And what is unique about these women in this group that are trying to reenter the dating scene?
Well, the unique thing about women over 50 is most of us have loved and lost love before. So we have a lot of ideas regarding dating and failed relationships, or maybe if you lost a spouse because of a death, you haven't dated in years. And so one of the mistakes is just not reengaging at all, or not knowing how to reengage properly. And when it comes to the failed relationships, possibly choosing that same type of relationship over and over again.
Running into the same blockages, or the same, it almost seems like the same person in a different body that we're dating.
Yes. And sometimes sometimes it's just that we have some characteristics in ourselves that cause those personalities to be attracted to us. So that's why it's so important when getting into a new relationship, especially after a breakup or a divorce, to know who you are first. Know who you are after 20, 30 years of marriage. Know what failed, what worked, what can be improved in yourself before you bring that to another relationship. So we want to improve.
Just talking on that is like, what are some of the improvements that people that you find are very common?
Well, one thing is, I had a conversation with a man. I'm talking to everybody lately about this, and I had a conversation with a man that was at a dating, speed dating type situation, and I was asking him questions, and he was saying that women who have been in a failed relationship stick out like what a red flashing light over their head. So men can tell when you're in a vulnerable state. And so the ones that are not, that or do not have your best interest in heart will be attracted to you. And if you're not healed from your previous relationship, then you may fall into that trap of choosing this person who doesn't have your best interest at heart again. So you may find, especially narcissistic personalities are attracted to vulnerable women. And so it's very important to make sure that, like I said, you have all your ducks in a row. You heal first, love yourself first, then move forward.
I hear that a lot. You know, I see the comments from a lot of different dating coaches, love yourself first, heal first. But I don't see an awful lot. It is so important. I agree. And I don't see a whole lot of, well, here's how to do it. I just see that you do that first. So can you give us some keys to really finding out what it is? Yeah.
So first you need to just pause, take a break, stop. A lot of times when you're in a vulnerable state, the tendency is to move from one relationship to another, you know, jump right into another relationship and thinking that that relationship will heal the past, when in fact you need to just focus on yourself. Focus on, I use journaling. I've been divorced myself after 21 years. Journaling helps you to put your feelings on paper. It helps you to see some of the baggage that you're carrying because it's going to come out in your journal. It helps you to feel better about yourself. Meditation is another thing that will help. Exercise. I really encourage exercise, and I know everybody doesn't like to exercise, but just walking, you know, walking on a beach, you know, just walking. It doesn't have to be, you know, doing a kickboxing class, but that's one of the things I did. I started getting up at 4:30 in the morning. I was working out, 4:30 in the morning, working out. But just a walk on the beach, you know, walking in the mall, just to get those good endorphins coming. Surround yourself with your close friends. So you can talk about what has gone on. A lot of times your friends have seen what has been happening with your relationship before you have. I got so tickled when I got divorced and my closest friend of 40 years who was in college, undergrad college with me, she says, I don't know why you didn't see that, you know, that controlling behavior. I saw it was there when we were in college. I'm like, really? I guess I wasn't paying attention, you know, I was young. So, you know, there's things that close friends will see that you don't see. And a lot of times they just don't want to get involved, you know, in case you stay there for 21 years. But those are some of the things that you can do to help yourself. Also getting coaching. You know, we get coaches, you know, related to our finances. We get coaches before we get married. Why not have coaching when after the marriage? Because sometimes people can be more objective and see things and commonalities that you will not see that have been reoccurring. So those are some of the steps.
Mm-hmm. I would imagine that communication skills and an ability to be vulnerable without being defensive and all of those things. I've witnessed that in myself and in my friends of a similar age who have also gone through marriage, divorce, and bad relationships that, whether they led to another marriage or not, you do, like you're talking about, you find yourself in a repeating pattern over and over again, dating the same person in a different body. And
exactly.
It can be overcome. And I truly do align with what you're talking about. It's like if you really know who you are, what your values are, and where you're going in life, then you're going to attract that person living your own life rather than using dating apps and other things. But like, that's a whole nother topic. But what I really want to like talk about is how, going back to that place where we're attracting the same people into our lives, how does that translate in the workplace.
Okay, so that's dating in the workplace used to be taboo. You know, a lot of companies had policies against dating in the workplace or being in the same, not just the same workplace, but in the same department or whatever. It was frowned upon. But now, actually, it's changing because now more people are dating in that space because we're busy. We don't have time to, you know, plan a date. You know, a lot of women I talk to that are very, that are professional, I don't have time to date. You know, I want to date. I want to find someone new, but I don't have the time. So sometimes you will find someone who has a common interest with you, attractive. Some of the stats now show that about out of 58% of employees are engaged in a romantic relationship. And of those, 72% of those are over 50, okay, with a coworker.
Wow.
So it's definitely increasing now because it's convenient, you know. But there, you have to, you need to know your company policy and know some of the cons. Some of the benefits are, you know, you get to meet someone in a safe place. You know, it's easier to plan a date because you know each other's schedule. You know, you get professional support. You get to run things off of each other, you know, related to the job. But on the other end, it can be very, very messy. So you have to be sure that it doesn't go in that direction or know that it's a possibility to go that direction if it didn't work out between you.
Right. Yeah, that can be an HR issue.
Yes. Yes, and some companies are even having, these new companies are having relationship in the workplace contracts. I read something about that a couple of months ago where they're making them sign a contract so that if there's a breakup, there's no, oh, this was sexual harassment, you know, or, you know, it was not a consensual relationship. So both partners are signing that this, they're in a consensual relationship. So I thought that
like
was something that was pretty new. Yeah.
Yeah, that is cool. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Just it protects both parties, not just one or the other, but it's just about being transparent, which I think is great among, you know, consenting adults. Why not?
Yeah.
It's a great idea.
So some of the cons, you know, of having dating in the workplace, that, you know, like I said, it could put your job on the line if you have an employer that does not want relationships within the workplace. And most people don't even know what their workplace policies are. You know, love doesn't look at contracts and policies. You know, you attract to someone and you just start engaging. And so that's one thing that would have to take, you know, place. You have to know your company's policy because, again, you could be the focus of the office gossip because now you're in the workplace, now you've had a breakup, and so people are taking sides. There's possibility for workplace violence. We hear about it all the time. There's possibilities of no privacy. You know, usually if you're grieving a breakup, you're not sitting in your partner's face all the time, every day. So, you know, if there's a breakup, then now you're faced with seeing this person every day, you know. Then you have increased absenteeism, you know, because now you don't want to see this person's face because you're grieving. So you want to, you know, it can work in some places, but you just have to know what the downside to engaging in the workplace, you know, because it can be good. Some people get married, you know, that start dating in the workplace and have great marriages. So it can work if you both know the risk, take things slow, and just don't rush things too quickly.
That's an important distinction. And like you said, the heart doesn't know things like logic. But it's really good to have a framework in mind so that you know, or at least before you even commit to somebody to say, yeah, I'm going to do this disclosure at work, that's a touchy
mm-hmm.
subject. So how to navigate
it
that
is.
I think is important. And I really want to talk about how, I'm guessing, but I want to get your input on this. Well, what type of positions are women in that age range, you know, 50 and over, what are they doing in the workplace? Are they in management, or are they running the show, or what's going on with them professionally?
They can be CEOs of company. They could be managers, directors, and the person they're dating could be above them or at their level. It could go either way. It's a little bit more touchy when you have someone who is in a higher management position and the other person is under them, because then if there's a breakup, then there's this problem with thinking that, you know, you're looking at my job, my performance differently.
Mm-hmm.
Or the other way around, I was fired because I broke up, you know, with this person, you know. So it's all those little sticky topics that can get in there when person is higher.
That's exactly where I was thinking along those lines. It's like, what are the success risks in being able to move up the ladder or to feel like you have latitude? If something goes wrong, and what kind of recourse do you have? I mean, this really becomes important. So I can think of two different ways in which love and dating in the workplace or at home can interfere with our career. And one is having romance in the workplace, like we've been talking about. And the other one is when we don't do well with leaving the drama of whatever relationship woes we have at the door when we go to work. So what are your thoughts around these two situations?
Well, in the workplace, I encourage just being discreet. Everybody doesn't need to know who you're dating in your workplace. You know, keep your personal business personal. And if you see that there's someone in the workplace that you're interested in and you decide to date, everybody doesn't need to know that you're dating. You know, be discreet, you know. If one person knows, that's more than enough. You know, each person has someone usually at work that they really connect with. So if you have one person, you know, that's fine, but it doesn't need to be something that the whole office knows about, especially in the beginning, because you don't know how it's going to work out or if it's going to work out. It's just a new relationship. So be discreet. And then even at home, when you have a breakup, as I was saying earlier, it can affect your performance at work, because you grieve a breakup just like you grieve a divorce or you grieve any kind of loss. And so you may not be yourself, you know. So you'll use those same steps again, go back to knowing who you were before that, you know, analyze what has happened through the divorce, know that you are enough no matter which way the relationship goes. And so you're not losing your self-esteem, especially in our 50s when we're worried about body image, you know, in the first place. You know, I'm not the 20-year-old dating anymore. I'm the 50 or 60, 65-year-old dating now. So I have those tight abs like I had when I was 20 years old, you know. So you have to approach it, you know, just approach it differently, you know, but know that it can work. Because there's several people. I've known several people it's worked well with. There's been marriages, and I know several people where it has gone really south, you know, and was not a good thing. So it just takes planning. Be sure that's where you want to go, and be discreet, and take it slow. We jump too quickly into relationships. You know, they all have – everybody has these rules, 90-day rules, of knowing someone perfectly. You know, you can live with someone for a year and not know them, or 20 years, not know them completely. So enjoy the dating. Enjoy dating and don't jump too quickly and become intimate too fast. Because once women usually engage sexually, then red flags are kind of put to the side and this will change, or that's a red flag, but, you know, he's good in bed, you know. So we overlook things. And so you want to take it slow. Enjoy dating.
What are some red flags that tell us, talk more about that. Because, yes, it's about enjoying dating. And so you just touched on something that was very, I think, prevalent. Like, a lot of women experience this. They will, I really like this person, and then they jump in, whether it's a physical intimacy or not, but you feel very connected to that person and you want things to proceed. But what are some red flags that a person can watch out for to say, wait a minute, this might not be a good idea?
Mm-hmm. Especially for an established professional. At our age, we have our finances. We've built up finances. Someone who's trying to jump right into getting, you know, into the intimate relationship real quick, and now they have financial problems and they need to borrow money. Or someone who is very controlling. You know, when you first met, they were very gave you a lot of compliments about how you dressed. Now, about 10 days later, here we're very controlling about what you have on and very suspicious of what you're wearing. Saying things that are to lower your self-esteem, very negative things. Very discreetly at first and then building over time. Or someone who, you know, they call you at 10 o'clock at night. You're dating, you've had all day, and the only time they call you is at 10 p.m. You know, where are they at the other hours of the day, you know?
Working, right? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you know, but 10 p.m. every time, yeah, no.
Right. Yeah, it sounds to me like boundaries are really important to understand when it is appropriate for someone to call. And I remember there being a time my parents would say, you have no phone calls after, at some point it was 8 o'clock, or then it became 9 o'clock. Is that still something that people pay attention to, or have you found that that's a loosey-goosey thing now?
Everybody's different, you know,
yeah.
Just like everyone's goal for dating is different. For me, after I divorced, don't call me at 10 p.m., you know, or call me
yeah.
after. You know, if you haven't engaged with me all day through a text message or something and you're just engaging at 10 p.m., no. So we call those booty calls.
Yeah.
But engaging or just disappearing, you know, just disappearing. You know, you've been talking to me online. We're not talking about online dating right now, but just talking to me online, and all of a sudden you just disappear for no text, no calls, no nothing, and all of a sudden here you come back, you know. So anything that makes your hairs on your neck stand up, your intuition, you should think about it, because we all have intuition. But what I've found is some women don't listen to the intuition.
Mm-hmm.
They feel it. It's in the back of their head as a thought. It makes them go, but they keep moving forward, you know.
Yep.
So at our age, we don't have time for that. You need to, if it's a red flag there, you know, investigate it and investigate it shorter. If it's not where you're wanting to go, it's time to chop it off and move forward. You don't have 10, 20 years to play around with a relationship.
Well, even if
we
did have 10 or 20 years. Right, you get to choose. And it's like, if you live a certain amount of experience, then your maturity level has reached the, hey, this is what I'm willing to put up with, and this is what I'm not willing to put up with. And I would
say
that's less about the I don't have time for this and more about I respect myself far too much to receive this kind of behavior from you.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah. So, I mean, this
setting
is one of the
boundaries.
Crossovers. Getting your boundaries
mm-hmm.
in place. And I see that a lot of people that are coming to me, and you probably see this in your side too when it comes to health, this exact internal conversation is at the core root of a lot of the symptoms that people experience. Low back pain, problems with their adrenals, running low on energy. What else are you discovering rolls over from having relationship issues into health issues?
Depression, stomach pain, chronic headaches, all of it. Not wanting to weight gain, you know, because now we're eating up everything in the sweet department of our cabinets
yeah.
because we're
feeling
depressed,
better, yeah.
you know, or drinking 2-3 bottles of wine, you know, because we're trying to get the pain to go away. Why
is that
happening
about?
To me, you know? Because we're trying to drown out the pain, you know? So that is not the answer.
No.
You know, at this time, I love this phase right now that of women, we get to choose. You know, so many times women back in the day, they waited to be chosen. Now you get to choose, and you need to communicate what your needs are. You're not just waiting for someone to come sweep you off your feet and take you wherever. You're choosing the type of relationship that you want to be in, you know. And taking my time after my divorce healing myself caused my husband to be attracted to me again, my now husband. And it was 6 years before we married, you know, but we were dating heavily and had lots of fun, became best of friends, took out time, and it's the best I've ever had. We're 10 years into an awesome relationship right now. And so I truly believe in the steps of taking it slow and knowing who you are, knowing your how to communicate properly in a relationship.
Well, all of this is beautiful information, and I'm just at the point now where I'm thinking, well, we haven't even discussed really the services that you offer. What do you do? But this is really about, you know, being safe to love at 50 and over, right? Just tell me more about what you do with that, and then after that, I would love to share how people can get in contact with you.
Okay, so what I offer is one-on-one coaching. I had a workshop on safe dating over 50, kind of a beginner's, you know, even if you're not ready to date right now, but you have dated in the past or you're thinking about dating in the future, it helps you to know where to go, just where to start. Gives you what you need to start dating again, things to look for. And then I'm rolling out a 12-week program called Queen, Get Your Life Back. And it's a dating it's dating by design because, like I said, each of us have dating goals that may be different. You may be looking for a husband. Another person may just want a partner and have no desire to marry again, but they want a committed relationship. So the 12-week one-on-one, I customized after a dating assessment a 12-week program for them that helps them clear all the clutter from the previous relationships, helps them to define their boundaries so that they can choose healthier relationships in the future. And then I also have a 12-week closed group program for women who may not need the one-on-one or want the one-on-one, but they enjoy being a part of a group of women. You know, when we get into groups talking about dating and all the aspects of dating, it can be some really good interactive conversation. And it helps people who are hurting to see, oh, wow, I'm not the only one that has experienced this before, you know, so I will survive and I will go forward, you know. So, and you build new friends. It's always great to find new friends when you're after a breakup that you can relate to. And so it creates a community of like women.
I love it. So if someone wants to get in contact with you, please share with our audience members how they can best reach you. And then we're going to share those details in the show notes below the video on our Women Lead Radio podcast page. So just tell us more about what they're going to see and then how to contact you.
Okay, so they can go to my website, which is www.safedatingover50.com. And there they can sign up for a free complimentary consult where we do a dating blueprint to see what your challenges are, and I give you a plan, a blueprint just for you. And we customize a dating plan to help you maneuver the dating and hopefully find a person that you're seeking to choose.
At a minimum, you're going to find who you are. Yeah,
exactly. Because everybody deserves to be happy. You know, everybody deserves that. And I guess because I'm so happy, I want everybody that's desiring that to have that. And it can happen, you know. You know, yes, there's more men here than women, but you can still find there's still a lot of good men out there. And so I help
agree.
Them. I even tell them where to go. So
beautiful. Well, that's it for our show today, Cheryl. Thank you so much for joining us and having this conversation. It's been a lot of fun.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So, and special thanks to all of our listeners, both in the U.S. and international, everywhere in the world. We'll be back again for another Women Lead radio show, Mondays at 9 a.m. and Fridays at 2 p.m. It's been my sincere pleasure to be your host today, and thank you for listening. Have a great week. Have a great weekend. This has been Eva Venari of the Elevate Institute, reminding you to question everything.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused, business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.